the mystery and joy of Easter might feel within reach. Open up our hearts that we might believe the unbelievable. And like Peter, in this hearing, may we move closer to you. God of the empty tomb, we are hungry for your good news. Speak to us now. With hope in our hearts, we listen and we pray. Amen.
Today's gospel reading is John 21-18, which can be found on page 140 in the New Testament of your pew Bible. So we are reading the gospel, but we invite you to stand and pray. Listen for the word of God as we read about the resurrection of Jesus and Jesus appearing to Mary Magdalene. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went towards the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one on the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? For whom are you looking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. Thanks be to God.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Supposing him to be the gardener. How often we don't recognize God at work in the world around us. It is so easy to get up and go about the day and forget that God is even out there. It's easy to wake up and interact with dozens of people throughout the day and to forget to see the reflection of Jesus in any of their eyes. And I get it. Some days it's really hard to figure out what God would be up to in a world riddled with war and violence and sexism and homophobia and all sorts of other isms. In a world where global pandemics and cancer and addiction steal loved ones from us. In a world where your pastor gets sick a few days before Easter and has to call in a friend to pinch hit. It is not the sort of world many of us naturally just walk into and expect to see God. We enter our passage this morning still in mourning. The disciples, all the disciples, the men who betrayed and deserted and hid, as well as and probably especially the women who stayed by Jesus' side until the very end, were still feeling the absolutely devastating events of having seen the cruel and brutal death of their beloved teacher, the teacher who spoke of radical love and inclusion, who cared for the sick and the outsiders, who saw the value in everyone. A mean and broken world with corrupt and immoral government had murdered Jesus. I can imagine that no matter what Jesus said to the disciples before he died, there was little chance of any of them would be looking for him in the world around that morning, other than to tend his body that had been hastily sealed into a borrowed tomb. Because she was a woman, which made her a member of a lower class in her time, Mary was not officially a disciple of Jesus. But do not let that fool you. She didn't just hang out on the edges or sort of know his teachings. She was one of Jesus' most devoted followers. She wasn't one of the 12 named disciples we generally think of, but she was every bit as devoted a follower as any of them. So she had heard Jesus say he would rise again on the third day. She believed him when he said he was the Son of God, the long-awaited Messiah. So how much greater then must her devastation have been upon watching his death? So I cannot blame poor Mary that her first reaction upon seeing an empty tomb was not, "He did it! He is risen!" but rather the bewildered and heartbreaking, "They can't even leave his body alone." Mary runs and gets Peter and the other disciple, probably John. And the men run back to check her work. They look in the tomb and say, "Yep, he's gone all right." And then they do the logical thing and leave poor Mary there alone again. But she's not alone for long, because a pair of angels pop out and ask why she is crying. And her desperate reply is, "They took my Lord, and I don't know where they put him." In spite of everything Jesus said about who he was and what he was going to do, Mary still fails to understand what has happened. So deep is her grief. And then, as Mary turns, she sees Jesus standing there, and we think, here's the moment. She's going to realize he's risen. And supposing he was the gardener, that line gets me every single time. Think about it. Here is the Lord of creation standing in front of her, having just risen from the grave as he said he would do, and he is so out of context
and so unexpected and so blurred by Mary's grief that she thinks he is the groundskeeper. There's a theory that she didn't recognize him because perhaps he looked different in his resurrected form. But I think that it is equally believable that he was just so unexpected, so out of context. Mary was too devastated to realize it could even be him. Sometimes Jesus is standing right in front of us and we still don't quite pick up on it because it is just too unexpected that God would really be working in such a time and place. We too often need God to speak to us in huge and obvious ways, just as Mary has to be startled into realizing what's happened. Something that we miss in this passage when we read the English translations rather than the original Greek is the way that Jesus uses Mary's name in this passage. I don't know why, but all of the English translations use the English form of her name throughout the entire passage, missing a really big point. Because up until Jesus shows up, the author has been using the Greek version of her name, Maria. But that's not what Jesus calls her when he appears. He uses the Hebrew and Aramaic version of her name, Miriam. He speaks her native language. Somehow, in the use of her Hebrew name, Jesus rattles Miriam out of her shock and her grief. And she is so surprised, she seems to forget how to even use Greek because she replies then in Aramaic, saying, Rabuni, my teacher. She's got a gut reaction when she realizes who he is. And she doesn't quite fully recognize the entire expanse of what has happened. She doesn't call him Messiah. She still calls him my teacher, but she recognizes him and she responds. Her faith is there and she responds, even when she is shocked and confused and still trying to figure it all out. She just needed to hear God speak in her own language, the way that spoke to her specifically and uniquely, her own real name. She doesn't wait to figure it all out. She doesn't stop and ask Jesus a million questions. She doesn't ask what's in it for her or what will people think or how relevant is this to the culture. She doesn't tell Jesus she'll get around to it when she's less busy or less tired. She goes. She hears him. She trusts that it is really Jesus. She heard her name, her real name. She knows it's him, and she goes into the fray to tell the disciples she found him. It is so easy for us to miss Jesus in the world around us. We come to church looking for him, but often miss his presence in the bread and wine, in the scriptures, in the faces of our church family. Maybe we miss him because we're expecting to hear him speak in a particular way or a particular language. Maybe it's because the baggage we bring with us is sometimes just too much. So start by looking for Jesus in the little moments that tug at your heart in your own language. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus tells his followers that someday people will ask when they saw Jesus. And Jesus' reply is, in the faces of those who needed food, clothing, shelter, or simply a friend. I've been doing this work long enough to know that there are many people at church today, all churches, not just this one, who don't come often. And I don't say that to condemn or judge anyone. That's just an observation, a reality. Your church attendance isn't my business. It's between you and God. But I wonder how many people don't come more often because Jesus just seems to be absent from the place. In our broken and hurting world, it's understandable that many people stop looking. But the message to us today is that even when all seems hopeless and broken, Jesus speaks to us gently and in a familiar way. And so if you miss him today, I encourage you to keep looking as Mary did, to listen for your name. Friends, God calls all of us, but not generally in the ways we think that he might. Stop looking for a dead God in an empty tomb. Turn around and respond to him calling your name. Be open to new and different ways of hearing God speak. Because just when we are the most desperate, weeping, God is gone and I don't know where to find him, we are reminded that we are not alone. We just need to turn around sometimes. God was there all along. Not a ghost, not a figment, not speaking the cultural language we're used to hearing, not calling us by the unhealthy earthly names we're used to be calling, names like less than, lower, unworthy, but by our real God-given names, beloved, chosen, unique, precious. He's standing there behind us the whole time. Standing there whether we have all the answers in place, all the questions figured out. We don't have to understand everything that is happening to have faith or to participate in God's work. The Christian walk is not about knowing something without ever misunderstanding or missing information or wondering what if. It is about a journey, a gradual realization of an incredible truth. And so if in all your searching, you're struggling to find God, stop looking in all the same worn-out places, the empty tombs. Turn and look at the beauty of the world around you today. Hear the presence of God and the chirping of the birds and in the breeze. Look at the incredible, unique, and beloved people sitting next to you right now. That is not a rhetorical statement. Look at all of the incredible, beautiful, unique people sitting around you this morning. What a beautiful crowd. Look at this beautiful space that we have the privilege of worshiping our risen Lord in this morning. Listen to the beautiful noise that the choir is making. As someone who does a lot of pulpit supply, that's not always the case. You are very fortunate in the music here. God is in this place. We do not worship an absentee God. We do not worship a God on a cross. We certainly do not worship alone. Today, Easter, is the day that we stop sitting helplessly by the cross or the empty tomb, and we turn to the one calling our name, and we go into the world to tell others this good news. We are not alone. God has plans for each of us, even the unexpected ones. Even, and in fact, especially those who are the least likely, like Miriam. Expect Jesus to show up in weird and unexpected ways. Expect Jesus to call you in absurd and exciting ways. And then run and tell the unexpected news that Jesus Christ is here. Jesus Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen.